Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 4, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. We are in the last half of chapter 3, and from there all the way to the end of 1 John, we have the greatest dissertation on virtue, love, and all of the scriptures. And so we had just barely got started. We're in about first gear, and we have second gear, third gear, fourth gear, light speed. It's all coming as we get on through these last three chapters. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started in the lesson, we have two birthdays today. Karen Espinoza and Harlan Dotson. Harlan Dotson's birthday is today, and he is just a spring rooster. Well, I'm serious. He's a spring rooster. I wish I could move around like he moves around. Everybody looks at me, and I'm an old rooster who's three-fourths of the way dead. He's a spring rooster. So happy birthday, Harlan. Joy is plus H. Harlan is minus H. No, we have been all this goes. Harlan and Joy takes me all the way back to Dallas Theological Seminary, and so that's about 150 years. Just a phenomenal relationship and friendship, and those two are the best of the best. And so, I will be in heaven before you, but I'll do a little recon. I'll show you around when you get there. 1 John 3. This last paragraph of chapter 3 starts halfway through verse 10. 1 John 3, 10. B, which says, anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, who does not attain grace righteousness, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student of God, a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love one another with, and that's with impersonal love for all. 1 John 3:10b is so phenomenal because it's one of the passages that emphasizes that there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation of grace righteousness developed in your soul. And grace righteousness is the believer operating by the royal family honor code. He has in his soul sacred honor, integrity, virtue, which enables him to have impersonal love for all mankind. This relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all can only exist in the life of the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This command to love one another with impersonal love was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. And John totally got it. He got it more than any of the other disciples. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 17. The Lord Jesus gave this command. This is a mandate for all the royal family of God in the church age. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving, as having grace righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, for all. Doesn't make any difference who they are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Impersonal love means you are free from mental attitude sins, free from sins of the tongue. Impersonal love emphasizes the character of the subject, the grace righteousness of the one doing the loving. This is in contrast to personal love, which emphasizes the attractiveness of the object. Impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life and operating by the royal family honor code, in contrast to the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. You cannot produce impersonal love for one another when you're living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. You cannot love one another with impersonal love when you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, when you hate others or have bitterness, jealousy, when you judge, slander, malign, judge your fellow believers. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And John taught that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, we know that we are abiding in him. And that, next to agape and agapao, the favorite word of John is meno. And that special word is employed by the Apostle John to describe the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's what it means when he says, by this we know that we are menoing in him, abiding in him, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Virtue love is the greatest of all the Christian virtues. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, virtue love. Virtue love is made up of three great problem-solving devices. Personal love for God the Father, that's developed first. Personal love for God the Father is developed first when you attain spiritual adulthood, and that's the motivational virtue. Then, after you have that personal love for God, God the Father, that has to come first. If you don't have personal love for God the Father, you will never, ever have impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. That's the functional virtue, and of course, occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all mankind. 1 John 4:20 and 21. And we're in chapter 3, but it just gets better and better and better and more powerful. 1 John 4:20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, fellow believer, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his fellow believer also. If you hate your fellow believer, mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, then you have no personal love for God the Father. If you really had personal love for God the Father, then you would be motivated to manifest impersonal love for your fellow believer, all fellow believers. If you have no impersonal love for your fellow believer whom you have seen, then obviously you have no personal love for God the Father whom you have not seen. The mandate for the royal family is that the one who has personal love for God the Father is to manifest impersonal love for his fellow believer. And then that brought us to personal love. Personal love as a virtue. Now we studied the first 10 points on that last week. Personal love as a virtue. We have the first 10 points, but that wasn't all. We had one, personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Why? God is perfect. When it's directed toward God the Father is perfect. When it's directed toward God the Son is perfect. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Personal love for God is the motivational virtue for the spiritual life. It is what motivates you to execute God's mandates. Point three, you wouldn't consistently attend Bible class unless you had learned enough Bible doctrine to have some appreciation for who and what God is. Because you develop that appreciation, you're motivated to assemble with other believers to learn the absolute truth of the Word of God. Four, personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object, which is God. Five, personal love for the human race has no virtue unless it resides inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all mankind. Six, virtue and personal love must exist in the perfect object, God the Father and God the Son. God the Father is the author of Operation Grace, the cross, and the spiritual life of the church age becomes the object of our personal love. And God the Son, as our Lord and Savior, is also the object of our personal love, which we call occupation with Jesus Christ. Seven, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ is the result of consistent and faithful perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine, fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. This is what is important in loving God. And some of you, not all in here, but some of you truly love God because you have enough Bible doctrine in your soul to love Him. 8, it is impossible to it's impossible to love God who is invisible apart from knowing Him. Now, God has given us His thinking. We can know exactly what God's thinking. That's different than people. I haven't got a clue many times what people are thinking. And you can't go by what they say. That doesn't mean anything either. But I can know exactly what God's thinking. He's given us His thinking. The mind of Christ, the Word of God is the mind of Christ, is the voice of the Spirit. So we can know exactly what God's thinking is. Is He's given it to us. The God-breathed Scriptures. And the more you know the Word of God, the more you know the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, the more you will love God. In fact, you will love God more than life itself. Now, that's different with people. It's difficult to know the thinking of people. You can't. When people say, I love you, well, maybe they do. And maybe they don't. It may be wrapped up in hypocrisy, false motivation, or no capacity. And therefore, you are easily deceived by people. But there's no reason to be deceived by God. You can know exactly what God is thinking in His Word. And that's why, if you find a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church, you need to get your ass in there, sit down, and start growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not to have the 500 million distractions that distract you and what's more important. Therefore, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ before you get married. Here's a fantastic principle. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ before you get married or establish a permanent relationship. Now, that's a great principle, but not necessarily followed by too many. Without the absolute truth of God's Word in your heart, the flaws take over and destroy friendship, romance, and marriage. With maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that leads to great capacity for love, for life, and happiness. Point 9, we are commanded to love God with virtue love. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. We're commanded to love God with virtue love. 10, while personal love for God is a mandate, personal love for man, friendship, romance, marriage, is an option. You are never commanded to have a friend. You're never commanded to have romance. You're never commanded to get married. God never commands you to get married. But you are commanded to love God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ with personal love. And you are commanded to love all mankind with impersonal love. Now that brings us to point 11. Point 11, personal love as a virtue is always directed toward God, God the Father and God the Son. Personal love as a virtue is always directed toward God, God the Father and God the Son. 12, personal love as a virtue is a problem-solving device for those who attain spiritual adulthood. Personal love as a virtue is a problem-solving device for those who attain spiritual adulthood. Thirteen, personal love for God the Father and God the Son provides the only true and genuine motivation for believers. Personal love for God the Father and God the Son provides the only true and genuine motivation for believers. Fourteen, personal love for God insulates the believer against arrogance. That's Satan's cosmic system. That's his great genius. Oh, he is the genius of all geniuses when it comes to arrogance. And personal love for God the Father insulates the believer against arrogance and all of its mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Since personal love emphasizes the object, and since the object of that personal love is God, and since God is perfect virtue, this becomes the major problem-solving device in your life once you reach spiritual adulthood. Now let's look at a couple of passages on personal love for God the Father. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Personal love for God the Father. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Personal love for God the Father. That's an amazing verse. God has prepared for you things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think when you attain personal love for God the Father. You see, life can become the most fantastic thing for those who have personal love for God. When you have personal love for God, what is 1 Corinthians 2:9 saying? Look at that. What is this saying? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. What that is saying is personal love for God the Father means every day will be Christmas. Every day will be Christmas. I had a doctor's appointment, and they had crowded me in, and there was a bunch of people in there. Nobody was having Christmas, and nobody was having Thanksgiving. The gal that called me and had me go back, she said, "How are you?" And I says, "I am absolutely fantastic. If I was any better, I'd be in heaven." I said, "Well, how are you?" Oh, I just have too much work and too much to do. She wasn't having Christmas either. She wasn't having Christmas or Thanksgiving. Doc comes in. "Aren't you here early?" I said, "Yes." He wasn't having Christmas or Thanksgiving either. And I gave him a letter of the doctor that did the surgery on my aneurysm. And I gave him the letter, and he read the letter. I said, so things have changed with him. He no longer has a private practice. He now functions with a hospital. And while at one point he said I was his patient, he's now, "I'm not his patient, I'm your patient. And you have to refer me once again to him." "I have to refer you again?" I said, "Well, he wasn't having Christmas and he wasn't having Thanksgiving." I said, "That's what he said, so." Okay, and then I said, I have one other thing. He said, "How's your wife doing?" Because I had Cliff tell Dr. Rougerolle, he had an appointment before I did, tell him that Debbie was having severe chest pains. And Cliff told him that, and he said, "Well, how is your wife doing?" I said, "Well, she went to emergency, and they ran some tests and took some blood tests, and there was no enzyme in the blood indicating a heart attack." And I said, "She has a very severe case of shingles. And it just so happened that the shingles she has produces very severe chest pains." And so she was there about 8 hours in emergency, and it was, she came to class first, and that I see my wife, and my wife, Jesus Christ and God is more important than anything else, no matter what's going on. Even if she is having what she thinks is a heart attack, it doesn't mean a damn thing. She's going to be in Bible class, period. That's it. Over and out. And she was here. And then right after class, she says, "I'm going to go to emergency." And her blood pressure, we did a lot of studies on, looked up and reading about shingles, and your risk for heart attack or stroke goes up 60%. With shingles, 60%. And her blood pressure was through the roof. And so they said, "Well, you're not having a heart attack right now. We're going to get you on some blood pressure medication, and but you need to go see a cardiologist when you leave here. You go see your cardiologist." So she got home and called up the cardiologist. They said, "Well, the earliest we can get you in is August 9th. And that was a month ago. "The earliest we can get you in is August 9th. And she goes, "Okay." And then she said, "They can't get me until August 9th. I said, "Well, when does your blood pressure medication stop?" "Well, it stopped yesterday." So I was in there the second, her medication stopped the third. So I said, and then he asked me, how's your wife doing? I said, "Well, she has a really, really serious case of shingles, and it was producing chest pain, pretty serious chest pain. She couldn't sleep, she couldn't do anything, but she did come to Bible class and worship the Lord, but she couldn't do anything else." And then I said, "The only problem is her blood pressure medication," and her blood pressure went through the roof. Ended. And he said, well, what is she taking? Well, I had her write it all down because I couldn't. I said, here it is. I said, it's a beta blocker. And it ran out. It runs out the third. And she doesn't see you until the ninth. Well, she can't just stop taking that. I said, well, if you'd have got her in here earlier. And then once again, he wasn't having Christmas or Thanksgiving. But isn't it great how God's timing? They got me in the day before her blood pressure medication ran out. And he said, well, she can't just stop cold turkey on that stuff. She will really have some problems. I said, okay, well, she'll be back in here on the ninth. Well, there's no referral from the hospital on that. I will give. And so, I mean, within minutes, she got a call on her phone. Your prescription is ready. You know, about 10 minutes after. And he says, you have to wean off of that. That is really, you can't just stop taking it. You got to wean off slowly or you can have some real problems. So she's weaning. But just the timing, God had me get in. And that's what she said over and over. I just can't believe. I said, well, yeah, and you got in. I couldn't get in. I thought I was having a heart attack. I couldn't get in. You get in, and all you have is you have to get a referral. You got in to see him. I said, well, and it was God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. I said, yeah, it was. I said, that's the way our God works. For those who love him, that's the way he works. So she's in the process of weaning. She'll see him on the ninth. And then they wanted the cardiologist to go ahead and do tests and that. Because your risk for heart attack and stroke goes up 60% with shingles. And I've always told Debbie, I said, you are one of the most critical servants. First of all, you're the helper corresponding to my soul. If you weren't here, and at the church, you do more things than everybody else together. At the church. If you weren't there, and you weren't here, and you went home to be with the Lord, I would jump off Hoover Dam. Within minutes. And I would be right behind you. She does the same thing you do. She laughs at me when I do. But I am serious. God has prepared for you things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think when you attain personal love for God the Father. And life can become the most fantastic thing for those who have personal love for God the Father. Every day will be Christmas. Every day will be Thanksgiving. But Bible doctrine must come first and have priority over everything else in your life. If anything else comes first, you will never have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Another passage is Romans 5:5. And we'll be in that. We're in our Sunday class, not immediately, but it's coming. Starts out hope, elpis, The word is Elpis. Not Elvis, Elpis. E-L-P-I-S. Unfortunately, it's translated hope, and we got this thing, I hope so. No, this is confidence. Elpis is confidence. Confidence does not disappoint us because the love for God, personal love for God the Father, has been poured out in our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit. Grace, perspicacity, consistent and faithful perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine. Grace, perspicacity, you advance to spiritual adulthood, and personal love for God the Father is poured out in our hearts. That's personal love for God the Father. Personal love for Jesus Christ passage. Turn over to Ephesians 6:24. Ephesians 6:24. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. That's personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. That is, let him be cursed until the rapture. In other words, you are under a curse as a believer until you develop personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those three words, we're going to develop this. Those three words, ooh, these are dangerous. I love you. All right, I love you. Now, in this phrase, I love you, personal love emphasizes the object of love. That's personal love. Personal love emphasizes the object. I love you. Personal love is only a virtue when directed toward God the Father and God the Son. They're perfect. You is perfect. God the Father is perfect. God the Son is perfect. Personal love is only a virtue when directed toward God the Father and God the Son. Personal love is not a virtue when directed toward man unless it is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Now, let's get those three words up here again. But this time with impersonal love. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject of love. A couple of things on this. One, impersonal love is an unconditional category of love directed toward all members of the human race. Impersonal love is an unconditional category of love directed toward all members of the human race. Two, impersonal love emphasizes the virtue on the part of the one doing the loving. In other words, the one doing the loving is the believer who has attained grace righteousness. 1 John 3:10b. Impersonal love emphasizes the virtue on the part of the one doing the loving. The believer has attained grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. He functions by the royal family honor code. Three, Impersonal love is characterized then by sacred honor. Sacred honor, virtue, integrity, nobility of soul of the one doing the loving, the subject. Impersonal love is characterized by sacred honor, virtue, integrity, nobility of soul of the subject, the one doing the loving. 4. Impersonal love emphasizes the virtue of the subject rather than the status of the object. Impersonal love emphasizes the virtue of the subject rather than the status of the object. 5. In impersonal love, the object is never the issue. It doesn't make any difference. So here's I love you. Impersonal love, you can just cross out the you. It doesn't make any difference who the you is. Whether they have honor or they don't have honor. If they have integrity, they don't have integrity. If they're lawless or whether they operate with honor and integrity, doesn't make any difference. Whether they're attractive or ugly, non-issue. Whether they're whatever, the object is a non-factor at all, because impersonal love is to everyone. So in impersonal love, the object is never the issue. Impersonal love is not sustained by the object of love. Impersonal love does not depend on who and what the object is. 6. In impersonal love, the virtue of the subject is greater than who and what the object is. In impersonal love, the virtue of the subject is greater. His virtue, his honor, his integrity is greater than who and what the object is. Doesn't make any difference who and what the object is. Seven, the great illustration of impersonal love for all is Operation Grace, the cross. The great illustration of impersonal love for all is Operation Grace, the cross. John 3:16, God loved the world so much. This is God the Father. God the Father is love. God, when it says in the Bible, God is love, God is virtue love. God is love. Yes, God is virtue love. And when it says God loved the world so much, he's loving the worst spiritually dead humanity, total depraved humanity, mankind at his very, very worst. How is God the Father loving the world at his very, very worst? Because he is, God is virtue love. And this is his impersonal love for the whole world. God the Father loved the world so much with impersonal love for all that he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. God the Father loved the world with impersonal love for all when the world was his enemy, when the world were sinners, when the world was in spiritual death and total depravity, when the world was at its absolute worst. So the great illustration of impersonal love for all is Operation Grace, the cross. We didn't earn or deserve any of that. 8. Impersonal love is developed in the heart of the believer by means of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Impersonal love is developed in the heart of the believer by means of consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. First, turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, impersonal love is developed in the heart of the believer by means of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, there is consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And what does that result in? Purified your souls. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren, therefore fervently love one another from the heart. 9. Impersonal love is without hypocrisy. Impersonal love is without hypocrisy. Turn over to Romans 12. Romans 12. Impersonal love is without hypocrisy. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love, this is virtue love, and the emphasis in this passage is on impersonal love for all. Let impersonal love for all be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Impersonal love for all fellow believers. Give preference to one another in honor. And once again, in our passage, 1 John 3:10b, impersonal love is directly related to grace righteousness, sacred honor. And here we have it. Give preference to one another in honor, grace righteousness. 10. Impersonal love is a mandate from God to every believer. Impersonal love is a mandate from God to every believer. We already saw that from Jesus Christ, John 13:34, John 15:12 and 17. But we have it in other passages as well. You're in Romans 12, just look over at Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. This is impersonal love for all. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. This is a mandate. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Impersonal love for all. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let love of the brethren, the royal family of God, your fellow believer, continue. Keep on keeping on. Let impersonal love of the brethren, keep on keeping on, continue. And then, of course, our passage, 1 John 3:11, because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love each other in personal love for all. So, one, impersonal love is motivated by personal love for God. And it's sustained by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Impersonal love is motivated by personal love for God. That has to come first. That motivates impersonal love for all. But how is it sustained? By consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. But I'll be real honest with you. Today, in our society, everything is more important to believers than Bible doctrine. The command in the Word of God is, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And that's the manner of most today. Everything, anything, keeps a believer from fulfilling that mandate. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So impersonal love is motivated by personal love for God the Father, and it's sustained by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Two, impersonal love only functions when the believer is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's that? Virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. And then what's spiritual skill number two? Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. That's 1 Peter 1:22. Three, impersonal love is one of the last virtues developed in the spiritual life. Impersonal love is one of the last virtues developed in the spiritual life. Impersonal love is not corrupted by flattery or emotion or approbation. And impersonal love does not succumb to arrogance. Impersonal love protects you from arrogance. Four, impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationships. Marriage, friendship, romance. Impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationships. Five, impersonal love is an unconditional guarantee that all members of the human race will be the recipients of sacred honor, virtue, integrity, without discrimination. Without discrimination. Impersonal love is an unconditional guarantee that all members of the human race will be the recipients of sacred honor, virtue, integrity, without discrimination. Six, impersonal love manifests tolerance, courtesy, sensitivity, and a relaxed mental attitude to all. Impersonal love manifests tolerance, courtesy, sensitivity, and a relaxed mental attitude to all. Seven, impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Eight, God invented impersonal love to be absolutely unique. He invented it to have impact all throughout the world. When you advance to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you're a spotlight. You are a spotlight in a dark world, and the world is getting darker and darker and darker, but you, with virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you are a spotlight shining in the darkness. You have phenomenal impact in the world. Impersonal love for all mankind cannot function until you have first of all developed personal love for God the Father. 9. If you hate your fellow believer, then it simply says you're simply shouting that you do not love God. 1 John 4:20. And 10, we are to love others with impersonal love just as Jesus Christ loved us with impersonal love. John 13:34, John 15:12-17. We are to love others with impersonal love just as Jesus Christ loved us with impersonal love. John 13:34, John 15:12-17, which we have noted in the past. Now that brings us to the principle of impersonal love. I told you we were just beginning to fight last time. We're beginning to get into second gear. The principle of impersonal love. One, impersonal love is directed to the entire human race. I also said you were going to get writer's cramps. How you doing? Anybody got writer's cramps? Joy's got writer cramps. But she's plus H, so that's no problem. If Harlan gets writer cramps, then that's a whole different thing. That's minus H with writer cramps. You know? Impersonal love is directed to the entire human race. 2. Under impersonal love, the whole human race is the beneficiary of your royal family honor code function. Under impersonal love, the whole human race is the beneficiary of your royal family honor code function. You treat all mankind with sacred honor, integrity, virtue. 3, impersonal love is non-discriminating. Non-discriminating. 4, impersonal love is free from prejudice. Free from prejudice. 5, impersonal love is unconditional. Six, impersonal love is non-hypocritical. Seven, impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. It's only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. This is the principle of impersonal love. It's directed to the entire human race. Under the impersonal love, the whole human race is the beneficiary of your royal family honor code function. You treat all mankind with sacred honor, integrity, and virtue. It's non-discriminating. It's free from prejudice. It's unconditional. It's non-hypocritical. And it's only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. And when you make one exception, then you do not have, at that point, you no longer have impersonal love. Instead, you are arrogant. You are functioning in Satan's cosmic system. Cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. The principle of impersonal love. And this is the mandate that we have been given. We are commanded to love God God the Father and God the Son, with personal love, were commanded to love the whole world, the whole mankind, with impersonal love. Those are mandates. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.